Hey everyone, it's Michelle here, and today on the podcast with me is Dr. Sam Ghali.
Oh-ho, it's time for another Lin session. Wait for that hook to drop.
Her academic life in the EM blog is bigger than an untreated hernia in an 80-year-old obese man.
Ouch.
Her team is smarter than the genetic crossbreeding of Dr. Spock and Stephen Hawking.
Yo, baby.
She drops more pearls than a new Tiffany attendant. It's Michelle Lin and the Lin Session. Lin.
You're probably asking yourself, who's this guy, Sam Ghali? Sam is an assistant professor of EM down at University of Kentucky and is absolutely brilliant. If you're on Twitter, his handle is @EM_resus, and he has some of the best tweets I've ever seen. Real pearls that you can use to enhance your practice. And now he's on MRAP sharing some of those pearls. This month, Sam's going to share with us an amazing trick of the trade, and that trick is pre-charging the defibrillator.
Pre-charging the defibrillator is, in essence, charging the defibrillator before you encounter a shockable rhythm at the rhythm check so that you're ready to shock immediately as you're recognizing that that rhythm is shockable during cardiac arrest.
Wait, that's the whole trick? Yep, it is that simple. As team leader, you're going to call for the defibrillator to be charged while compressions are still ongoing leading up to that rhythm check. You're anticipating that you're gonna get a shockable rhythm, and pre-charging is gonna allow you to immediately deliver that shock without any extra pauses.
If you look at ACLS these days, it's basically been shaved down to just BLS. And the reason for that is, as cardiac arrest resuscitation research comes out, the more and more that comes out, the more and more we realize that really it's all about just perfecting the basics. And pre-charging the defibrillator, in my mind, is really just going back to those basics and improving on basic things that we know work. Two main tenets of effective CPR that we know works is, number one, decrease time to defibrillation. So if your defibrillator's charged before you encounter that rhythm and you're shocking right then and there and you're not having to charge and wait and go through all that stuff, then you're decreasing time to defibrillation. Number two, decrease total hands-off time has gotten a lot of attention, especially recently here in cardiac arrest resuscitation. We talk about chest compression fraction, and chest compression fraction is basically what fraction of the entire resuscitation are chest compressions being performed. So when you increase your hands-on time, you are increasing your chest compression fraction. And that's exactly what happens when you pre-charge the defibrillator.
And this is all part of the larger concept of high-performance CPR, which we'll be talking about in the next few months. But what usually happens when you're running a code?
You and your colleagues are pumping away on the chest. And then the team leader calls for a pulse check.
Can I get a pulse check?
Compressions stop, you look at the monitor, and now if you see ventricular fibrillation or ventricular tachycardia, you call for the defibrillator to be charged. And then somebody shouts clear.
Clear.
The problem with this approach is that we're not prepared for what we're going to see during the rhythm check, and so we're not ready to take the next step.
And here's the worst part about it. CPP, or coronary perfusion pressure, is not an on and off switch. It's not like you're on the chest, you're off the chest, and all chest compression time is equal. Coronary perfusion pressure takes time to build. So once you're now charging the defibrillator, because you didn't do it before, you're trying to get back on the chest and maybe increase that CPP, and who knows how high you're getting, probably not even back to adequate level. And then bam, you're hit with another interruption. Clear. So you hold chest compressions again, and now you're just destroying your CPP, and then you have to shock, and then you have to get back on the chest, and then you have to build your CPP back up. So it's really this awkward, cumbersome, illogical sequence of events that unfortunately is written into the guidelines and doesn't make any sense to me.
Basically, what you see is huge drops in perfusion pressure during CPR pauses, which makes sense, but also you see the amount of time with active compressions it takes to achieve adequate perfusion pressures. This isn't instantaneous.
Gosh, I don't know why we haven't been doing this, why I haven't been doing this. I feel like a dum-dum.
You know, you're following the guidelines. It's not part of the guidelines, and so I hope that one day it will be. You go back to that moment where you look up and you identify a shockable rhythm. The defibrillator's charged, you shock right then and there, you get back on the chest, and you're done. That's it.
So as you're telling me about this trick, you know when something is like too good to be true? You know, what's the catch with this? There's got to be a downside to this.
Yeah, I mean, the question comes up all the time. Well, why isn't this part of the guidelines then?
Yeah.
People are afraid that the defibrillator's charging, somebody's going to accidentally hit the shock button and a chest compressor's going to get shocked. I guess that theoretically could happen and probably does happen rarely. Anecdotally, I've been doing this for years and I've not once had that happen. I think it's a matter of just being responsible and just paying attention to what you're doing.
Do you have any logistical tips, recommendations on how someone who hasn't done this before kind of gets everyone on board and makes this happen?
I would say that briefing is super important. And this is a concept that is probably very important in the resuscitation in general. I think for pre-charging the defibrillator, obviously the timekeeper has to know. The chest compressors have to know, and the person running the defibrillator are probably the most important people to know. I mean, everybody in the room should be on board with what's going on. So you brief and make sure everyone's on the same page. But one tip that I think works is I tell the chest compressors, oftentimes they're the ones who aren't familiar with this sequence of events. And so I like to tell them beforehand, I say, listen, when you're doing compressions, we're going to charge the defibrillator. You're going to hear it going off, but don't worry. We're not going to shock. We're just charging. In real time, I repeat that as we're charging because I feel like that seems to mitigate any apprehension they might have had.
So how many seconds or minutes do you pre-charge the defibrillator? Are you saying like right after defibrillate, just go ahead and start charging it up? 2 minutes? Or are we talking about like 5 seconds? What's your ideal time frame?
First of all, I encourage everyone to really become facile and be able to run your defibrillator well and look at and see how exactly your defibrillator works. We have a Zoll and I've tested this out. We know that it holds a charge for exactly 60 seconds. And it's important to know because I have seen people try to pre-charge the defibrillator at the beginning of the 2 minute chest compression cycle, and that won't work because the charge will automatically dump or dissipate after 60 seconds. Having said that, the way I like to do this is, for us, the person keeping time is usually a nurse who's scribing the details of the code. What I like to do is have a 30 second pre-rhythm check or pulse check, whatever you want to call it, alert. And so 30 seconds before that check happens, that person announces to the room, okay, rhythm check in 30 seconds. And that I find to be so useful, even if you weren't pre-charging the defibrillator, that 30 second warning that the rhythm check is coming up is so useful because it alerts all the team members. The chest compressors are ready to switch. You make sure the defibrillator is in good view. And if you think ultrasound's a good idea, you make sure the ultrasound's ready at that time. But at this 30 second mark, just one additional thing you do at that time is just charge the defibrillator.
How come there are no papers that I've seen on this? Have there been any publications and journals about this trick of the trade of pre-charging the defibrillator?
There isn't a whole lot of data out there, and this is something that's very difficult to study. The only human study that I'm aware of is a study by Edelson and his group in 2010. Basically, what they did is they looked at CPR sensing defibrillator transcripts over a 3-year period. They had a total of 448 cycles of CPR where the defibrillator was pre-charged. And they too found a significantly decreased hands-off time. But it's a retrospective study, and there may never be robust data on this topic.
I love data as much as the next guy, but this is a place where I'm not sure you need it. There's no harm to the patient of doing this, and it just makes sense. In that study by Edelson, over 450 cycles, there were no inappropriate shocks delivered, and there was only one inadvertent shock that was delivered. That's pretty good numbers as far as safety. While this isn't a part of the AHA and ACC guidelines for cardiac arrest resuscitation, other countries are a bit more progressive.
ANSCoR is the Australian and New Zealand Committee on Resuscitation. In their advanced life support guidelines, they actually mention this as a recommendation. So I'm going to read you this quote from the ANSCoR ACLS guidelines. If using a defibrillator in manual mode, the defibrillator should be charged during CPR as the end of the 2-minute loop of CPR approaches to minimize interruptions to CPR and increase the likelihood of shock success.
Seems the Aussies and the New Zealanders are a bit ahead of us here with their recommendations. What about cutting down the hands-off time by simply doing hands-on defibrillation? Basically, no more shouting clear, just shock while compressions are ongoing.
Here are my thoughts on hands-on defibrillation. So first of all, A, this may not be safe The studies are mixed. I think it suffices to say that hands-on defib is of questionable safety. And then B, even if safety was not a concern with hands-on defibrillation, you're still shocking later than you would have if you would have pre-charged the defibrillator and shocked immediately at the moment that you identify that shockable rhythm. So in my mind, pre-charging the defibrillator just supersedes hands-on defibrillation entirely.
This trick of the trade couldn't be any simpler. 30 seconds before the rhythm check, charge your defibrillator. CPR hold for the check, and if you see a shockable rhythm, deliver the shock, which is ready to go, and get back to compressing the chest. This simple intervention decreases hands-off time and increases your compression fraction. And remember the ASCOR recommendation.
If using a defibrillator in manual mode, the defibrillator should be charged during CPR as the end of the 2-minute loop of CPR approaches to minimize interruptions to CPR and increase the likelihood of shock success.
Clear.
Hey, Sam, thanks for joining us on the podcast. And that's a wrap on the LINS sessions. Learn it now, use it tomorrow, and think about pre-charging that defibrillator next time, all right?
Okay, get ready to pre-charge, but not yet.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm charging.
No, not yet. You have to wait to pre-charge.
Why?
Because you have to wait 30 seconds.
Who cares? No,
what are you
charging.
Doing?
No, I'm charging.
The patient's not even here yet. You're going to have to pre-charge the whole
thing. Pre-charge, dude. Pre-charge. We're going to pre-charge.
No, seriously, back. Wait, remember what happened last time?
I'm getting ready to pre-charge.
Why are you coming? Stop. Get
out. Shock.
Go away.
Shock.